Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. One of the biggest questions vegetarians and vegans get during the holidays is, what are you going to eat? Some choose not to eat meat for a variety of reasons, including health benefits and animal humanity. Have you ever considered cutting out meat from your diet? How did others respond to your choice? And how do you survive the holidays? We also want to hear your best meatless and animal product-free recipes, too. Join us as we give Native America's vegan and vegetarians the spotlight, right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Canadian officials say a massive dam break has not had major impacts on traditional fishing grounds downstream, but some First Nations group worry similar incidents could happen elsewhere. Ed Schoenfeld reports.
A dam at eastern British Columbia's Mount Polly mine breached last summer. More than 2 billion gallons of water and slurry were released into nearby streams and lakes. Tribal groups called First Nations in Canada worried released chemicals and minerals would damage salmon runs far downstream. But British Columbia Mines Minister Bill Bennett says tests so far show water and fish to be safe.
We're going to have to measure the impact in terms of long-term, obviously, but so far we've been sampling fish tissues and sampling sediment and sampling water, and so far so good.
First Nations groups aren't satisfied with those tests. The Union of British Columbia Indian Chiefs has called for more extensive research into the impacts. Meanwhile, Mount Polly's owners are close to opening another mine. This one is in eastern British Columbia, near the salmon-producing Stikeen River. Bennett says that won't happen till he's sure it's safe.
We've actually paid for the Tahltan First Nation to hire an expert to advise them, so their expert has to be satisfied before we're going to let that mine open.
The Tahltans are the First Nation closest to that mine. For National Native News, I'm Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The second of 5 years' work has been completed on the passage of wind and water sculpture in Rapid City, South Dakota. As Jim Kent reports, the finished art piece will reflect the archaeological, geological, and cultural history of the Badlands and the Black Hills.
The passage of wind and water sculpture will consist of the Badlands Stone Tapestry Garden and the Black Hills Stone Tapestry Garden. Sculptor Masayuki Nagase spent last year carving images to reflect the ancient history of the Badlands. His goal this year was to create images to reflect the various conflicts and tragedies suffered by Native Americans in this area. But at the same time, he didn't want to immerse himself or the viewer in negativity.
To express sort of prayer for me, to bring people's life, not dying, but it keeps going. And live with this transformation and the change in history.
Yuki Nagase created images of lightning bolts and tree roots to symbolize the destruction and continued life of the Native culture. Although Yuki has greeted countless visitors since he began the project, this past summer saw many Lakota people stopping by.
And they all talked straight how they felt. And I was very happy, actually, because, you know, many people come and visit and talk to me, but quite a few people talk about more technical things. They never talk about how they feel.
As Masayuki Nagase returns to his home in California, he hopes his sculpture will provide an opportunity for anyone who views it to think about the past and contemplate the future. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
President Obama honored Native American writer, curator, and advocate Suzanne Schoen Harjo Monday.
She has helped preserve 1 million acres of Indian land, helped develop laws preserving tribal sovereignty. She's repatriated sacred cultural items to tribes while expanding museums that celebrate Native life. Because of Suzanne, more young Native Americans are growing up with pride in their heritage and with faith in their future. And she's taught all of us that Native values make Americans stronger.
Harjo was among more than a dozen people to receive the Medal of Freedom at a White House ceremony. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the Striking Eagle Invitational Basketball Tournament and Educational Fair on December 31st. Information on services and the fair at ahcnm.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Today, we're talking about going vegetarian. Have you ever considered not eating meat? Were you raised in a house where meat was served at every meal and then went to zero meat? Maybe your story is different. Maybe you've never eaten meat and were raised in a vegetarian or vegan home. And there are many reasons people don't eat meat, as well as why someone stops after a lifetime of eating meat. Some put the halt on meat because of health reasons. Others cut it out because they don't believe in killing animals. Today, we've got some folks who chose not to eat meat for a variety of reasons. And if you're on the verge of going meatless or just made the change and want to ask them questions, you can by calling 1-800-996-2848. And vegans and vegetarians out there in Native America, we also want to hear why you chose not to eat meat. Do you think it's healthier not to eat it? Or do you worry about where our meats come from? Everyone is welcome to the conversation today. Our call-in number, again, is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us now from Tulsa, Oklahoma, is Colleen Thurston, and she works in media and film, and she is a vegetarian. And Colleen is Choctaw. Welcome to Native America Calling, Colleen.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Colleen, thank you for being with us. And I want to hear more about your story. You became a vegetarian when you were 8, so growing up in Oklahoma. We want to hear, you know, tell us how people responded to your choice.
Yeah. So you say it's a choice, and it is, but I really never wanted to eat meat. I never had a taste for a lot of it. And my parents were very supportive and did not force me to eat meat. Then when I was about 8 or 9, I don't know, something just kind of occurred to me, like, this is dead. I don't really want to eat a dead animal. So I just kind of stopped. And like I said, very supportive parents. My mother is a fantastic cook, so she really modified a lot of her recipes for me. So I grew up having amazing homemade chili and homemade gumbo and biscuits and gravy and a lot of these kind of more traditional, what you think of as Southern style or home style foods, but not without meat. So I was very lucky in that regard. But in Oklahoma, you know, 80s and 90s, it was very hard to go to a restaurant and sometimes just to get a meal, unless it was just spaghetti, plain spaghetti without meatballs. So it wasn't the easiest. If I didn't have the support from my family, I wouldn't have been able to do it when I was that young, for sure.
All right. And Colleen, we're also putting out the word, you know, if that is your story too, or you remember similar things growing up, call us right now. We want to hear from you and tell us about your meatless life. 1-800-996-2848. And Colleen, can you remember what it was like, you know, when you were young and maybe what it was like to be among your peers? Is this something you could talk about with them, or was this kind of something only you knew about?
Yeah, I always talked about it. My peers never questioned me so much as their parents did. I think that was just a generational thing. People were always really concerned about my eating habits. Everyone wanted to have an intervention with me about not eating meat. You know, that became everyone's business. So Yeah, a lot of concern, a lot of going, you know, go to a birthday party and pick the pepperoni off the pizza, that kind of thing.
And Colleen, what about, you know, now as an adult, what do you think about that? That when somebody says they're either a vegetarian or vegan, sometimes they're met with, you know, strange faces or people just treat you differently. What do you think about that?
I think there's still a lot of assumptions made about vegetarianism. People immediately assume that I'm grossed out or disgusted by meat. And they want to say, oh, I'm eating a hamburger. And I'm like, that's great. It actually smells really good. I just don't want to eat it. There's a lot of assumptions that I am not getting proper nutrients or I'm not eating appropriately. And people have a lot of opinions that they still want to impose on me about my lifestyle, which it doesn't really bother me. I've been dealing with it my whole life. So, but everyone is very opinionated, which I do find interesting.
All right. And, you know, we are opening up the phone lines for people to share some of those opinions today. And if you're a vegetarian, call in and tell us the reasons you live a meatless life. You know, was it for ethical reasons or maybe even because of health? Or did you start in your young age and you've grown up knowing this lifestyle? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. It's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Colleen, are there any other things you'd like to set the record straight on when it comes to being a vegetarian?
It's a lot easier than I think people think. I mean, you just make some decisions. You can very easily substitute in. You know, if you have a recipe that calls for chicken broth, you can very easily use vegetable broth. It's not that hard. Sometimes you got to carry some almonds or an avocado or something in your purse, but it's not as hard and it's not as strange as you might think it is.
All right. And Colleen, when it comes to being among, you know, your native peers, any reactions that you remember that maybe even made you chuckle?
Yeah, I think, well, being in Oklahoma, I think barbecue is kind of a big part of the lifestyle. And there's a Choctaw Nation does a commemorative Trail of Tears walk every year. And my family, we go and do that. Well, at the end of the walk, we all sit down and eat. And it's always Sloppy Joe's, Lay's potato chips, and like Chips Ahoy cookies, you know, and a pickle. So my family and I, we get all the pickles. So that's something that, you know, it's just, it's still not embraced by, you know, really the tribe as a whole or really this part of the country. And I met a woman who's also Choctaw when I was in D.C., and she said something to me, and I mentioned, oh, actually, I don't eat meat. And she goes, you don't eat meat? You don't eat barbecue? You are the only Choctaw I have ever met that doesn't eat barbecue. So that did make me laugh a lot because I actually really love barbecue sauce and I put it on everything.
All right. And, you know, listeners, you know, are you treated like a unicorn because you're a vegetarian or a vegan in Native America? We want to hear about it. 1-800-996-2848. And, you know, dispel the myth that vegetarians and vegans, they don't eat good food. Call in with your great recipes. We want to hear from you, too. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Colleen, when we speak of recipes, anything else you'd like to add about, you know, how you can twist things up?
Well, I realize that a lot of people seem to rely on meat for flavor. And it doesn't have to be that way. Like, don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to combine different flavors, seasoning, herbs, and just see what happens.
And where do you like to go to make sure that you have the right seasons you need?
Well, I do use a lot of fresh herbs when I can, and I'll freeze them from the summer. But I like to just make sure you got really basic seasonings. I like things spicy, so I always have pepper, ground pepper, and, you know, salt, cumin. I'll use a lot of cumin, cinnamon. Just, like I said, Don't be afraid to try new things and combine flavors. And barbecue sauce. I'll always recommend that.
Don't forget the barbecue sauce. All right, Colleen, again, we're calling for you to also call in. Maybe you have some great recipes. Our senior producer, Monica Brain, who isn't a vegetarian, she likes vegetarian dishes too. Her favorite dish is wild rice with pine nuts and dried cranberries. That sounds great. What about you? Do you have a favorite vegetarian dish? Even if you're not a vegetarian or a vegan, we want to hear from you. Holidays are around the corner. You can share maybe even what you're going to be cooking up this holiday. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and expand our conversation and bring in another voice. Joining us from Browning, Montana right now is Rosemary Cree Medicine, and she is also a vegetarian and a tribal health administrator for the Blackfeet tribe in Montana. And Rosemary, it's Blackfeet. Welcome to Native America Calling, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Rosemary, great to have you with us. And let's stick with some of these recipes. How do you like to mix it up in the kitchen as a vegetarian? Any tips for us?
For me, you know, people always ask, you know, what do you eat if you don't eat meat? And I just are you know, especially during Thanksgiving, they think that just because I'm not eating the turkey, you know, there's nothing else to eat. But there's all the, you know, the side dishes. And basically how I cook at home, my daughter became a vegetarian when she was 7 years old, and I've been a vegetarian for 3 years now. So when I cooked our meals, I always put something aside without the meat. So when I became a vegetarian, it was a lot easier to you know, to continue cooking that way. It made it a lot easier to adjust. So I just, you know, cook for my husband, and sometimes my kids come out, and I always cook with something with the meat on the side. I never add the meat into anything that I cook. So it makes it a lot easier.
And Rosemary, it sounds like your family has, you know, had some involvement or reactions to your choice to stop eating meat. Any initial response that your family had, maybe even your husband, when you said, you know, this is how it's going to be?
it was kind of crazy how I decided. It just basically woke up one day and decided I didn't want to eat meat anymore. So I thought I would try it. You know, I thought I'd go for a month, and then a month went to, you know, a year, and now I'm past the 3 years. But when I did tell him I just said I'm going to try, and you know, so he supported me through, you know, right from the start. So, and he still supports me about it.
And Rosemary, you know, even your young daughter is also meatless. How does that, you know, expand your view of what living a vegetarian lifestyle is about?
Well, she was 7 at the time. She's actually 27 now. So that was 20 years ago when she decided. And when she first started, you know, I would try to get her to eat meat, and she just refused. So, you know, I understood that she was becoming a vegetarian, and I believe she just didn't like the taste anymore. So, like I said, growing up with a vegetarian in our home, as you know, we just all adjusted, and especially the cooking part.
All right, Rosemary, thanks a lot. 1-800-996-2848 is the way to get into the conversation. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. And have you ever considered a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle? If you have any questions, you can call our folks who are on the line with us. They got a lot of thoughts on this, and it looks like they have good ways of making food tasty, too. You can ask your questions. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Rosemary, I'd really like to hear more about how becoming a vegetarian can be a health choice, especially working there, you know, in the tribe as a tribal health administrator. Any thoughts about how, you know, opening up the door to being a vegetarian can bring a lot of health benefits.
Well, before I came on as the Tribal Health Administrator, I worked with the diabetes program here in Browning, and that's under the Special Diabetes Program for Indians. And I started there from the beginning in 1998, and then I came on as a director there for most of the part of working down there, I believe, for 11 years. Working with the diabetics and you know, working with the nutritionists, I got to see, you know, firsthand how not eating healthy affects, you know, a diabetic. And what kind of really hit hard for me and made me kind of really open my eyes was my mother is a diabetic. I did lose my dad to diabetes. And about just before I became a vegetarian, she had lost her leg to diabetes complications. And that kind of really scared me into thinking I need to, you know, do better with my health, because I do remember eating all the hamburgers and the boiling meat and the steaks with all the fat left on. And since I've quit eating meat, I'd say I lost maybe close to 15 pounds, you know, not trying to, but because I don't have that meat in my diet. And I do feel healthier. You know, I always tell people, you know, I feel a lot healthier, and I could even see it in the pictures of from a couple years ago, how heavier I look to now. So I do, you know, encourage people. I'm always trying to get people to become vegetarians. So I think it's a healthy choice.
And Rosemary, how many people have you convinced?
I get a lot of, well, I'm thinking about giving up meat, but but they don't fully commit.
Right on. Well, Rosemary, it's great to hear from you. And I'm glad you're bringing up the health reasons. And I'm very curious. I'm not a vegetarian myself. But, you know, people who are, you know, what kind of health benefits do you think you have because you've chosen not to eat meat? I want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. It's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And, you know, everybody is welcome today. Even if you eat meat, if you're not of the vegetable or vegetarian only persuasion, you know, if you got questions or you've just been wondering yourself, call us right now. 1-800-996-2848. Colleen, I'd also like to hear from you as well about the health side of being a vegetarian or a vegan. Anything you want to add?
I would just say I can't speak to that a lot because I have been a vegetarian most of my life, so I can't compare and contrast before or after. But I would just say when I eat fresh foods, fresh healthy fruits and vegetables, I feel really energized and really good, as opposed to sometimes when I eat something heavier, something with a lot of cream or a lot of starches, I feel full, but I don't necessarily feel energized. So that is a benefit of being a vegetarian. It's a lot easier to make that choice to eat fresh fruits and vegetables.
All right. And, you know, we also want to hear reasons why folks have decided to live a vegetarian lifestyle. There's lots of reasons out there we want to hear, you know. And, you know, do you get, you know, are holidays a little more complicated because you get with family who has a bunch of meat-eating tendencies and you're trying to balance things out? Or maybe y'all have figured it out, and when it comes to holiday times, everybody knows what the table's going to look like. We want to hear from you today. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Rosemary, any thoughts out there for maybe parents? Maybe, you know, they come from a household of meat eaters, but their kids have decided to take on this kind of lifestyle. I know in my family, we have a young niece who has decided to become a vegetarian. And it was interesting to just kind of see the family kind of morph to that. Any thoughts for you, Rosemary, out to parents who have a vegetarian or vegan child?
Probably just to be supportive and understanding. And even if they have to change the way they cook, you know, because when my daughter first became a vegetarian, it took a while to get adjusted to sometimes I'd forget to set things aside and not add meat. And, you know, so just basically being supportive and understanding and let them find their way, because eventually, you know, some might go back to me, but to this day she hasn't. And
all right. All right. We got a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and bring in Catherine in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Catherine, what would you like to share?
Good morning. Well, I just want to say I was a vegetarian, a full-on vegetarian for 25 years. It was a spiritual decision. I remember camping on my way driving across country in Colorado, and the campground was near a slaughterhouse. And we listened to these cows crying all night long. It was just terrible. And then I was poisoned by a hamburger on July 4th, 1976, and became a vegetarian the next day, and was a vegetarian for 25 years. It was one of the best decisions in my life. I'm 66 now. I've never had any health issues. I'm on no medications, and I'm just as healthy as I can be. And it was just one of the best decisions I made as a young person. Then when I went through menopause, I had to start adding in a bit of chicken and a bit of fish. But other than that, I've pretty much been a vegetarian since I was in my mid-20s. And I just, you know, John Robbins, in his book Diet for a New America, says that the single most effective and powerful thing that an individual can do for the planet is to become a vegetarian.
All right, Catherine, thank you for your call there in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And today we're talking about being a vegetarian. Also want to hear from vegans, too. Are you one of them? Call in and share why you choose not to eat meat. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. With us today is Colleen Thurston. She's been a vegetarian since she was a little girl. And again, we want to know about you. What about you? Did you have a budding vegetarian in your family? Or maybe you have one right now. You got questions? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can also reach out to us on social media. We're on Twitter and we're also on Facebook. And if it's easier, send us an email. Send it to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. We'll be right back. We've shared a bit of the Native vegan and vegetarian world on our program. On the next Native America Calling, we'll give you meat lovers a chance to also chime in. What type of meats are most commonly eaten in your Native community? What about in your household? Are there cultural connections tied to the meats you eat? Thank you.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the Striking Eagle Invitational Basketball Tournament and Educational Fair on December 31st. Information on services and the fair at ahcnm.org.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Meseta Pueblo, and thanks for joining us today. And did you know that we're on many stations across the U.S.? You can go to our website to see what station we are on in your area. And if we're not on in your area, you can also stream us from Native Voice One. That's nv1.org. And today we're talking about being a vegetarian. And that is someone who doesn't eat any meat, including chicken and fish. And Thanksgiving is coming up. And although this is a holiday generally associated with turkey, vegetarians and vegans across the U.S., we'll also be serving up a bunch of delicious meat-free and sometimes dairy-free dishes. So we want to hear from you. Will you be having meat-free dishes on Thanksgiving? And, you know, what becomes your main dish when you are serving a vegetarian or vegan Thanksgiving dinner? Call us and share. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go straight to our phone lines. We have Lucy, who is in Reserve, New Mexico, tuned into the program today. And Lucy, welcome to the hour. And what would you like to add?
Hi. Well, hello. Good afternoon. I think this is an amazing subject to talk about, especially as we get close to the what I call the massacre of the turkeys. But the diet for the New America, which is one of your last callers talked about, and how to become a vegetarian, if you're really interested in saving the planet, I think it's a key subject to really for people to really meditate on. I think you know most of us go. I'm a vegetarian, by the way, since I was 15, and I'm 55. So, and I like the person who called before. I don't take any medicines. I've never have. Maybe just aspirin for some aches, but I've never been part of the pharmaceutical world. And on that note, I just want to remind everybody that most of the meat that they're eating is loaded with hormones, and not to say all the stuff that we don't even know what it is, that it's designed actually to have an impact in your organism. Therefore, you end up using their products, which is mostly pharmaceutical stuff, and then probably end up in the hospital and dead earlier than you should. So I'm not a fanatic, but I'm a strong believer that people have to change the way they eat in order for the planet to survive us, because we are eating the planet away. And if you look at how we consume, the amount of animals that we consume daily, it's just outrageous.
All right. So and Lucy, I want to hear what our guest has to say to that. Hold tight, Lucy. I want to bring back our guest, Colleen Thurston. She's on the line joining us from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She also works in media and film, and she is a vegetarian coming to us from the Choctaw Nation. And Colleen, any thoughts about our caller Lucy's concerns?
I do think those are very valid concerns, especially, you know, the way that we raise animals. It's done in a very disrespectful way. And that energy that you put into raising an animal is going to come out the other end. And so you're consuming that. However, if you take that in a more positive note, yes, you are what you eat. Well, if you're eating more plants, remember those plants are medicine. So consciously eat them. Consciously eat things without pesticides. And know that you're nourishing yourself. You're not just eating because your stomach is empty and you're hungry. You're eating to give yourself sustenance and to give yourself life. So if you make, you know, if you make the decision to eat meat, I think that that can be done in a very ethically responsible and respectful way, which a lot of people do, especially traditionally. But at the same time, the same goes for plants. You know, we have to remember that that is nourishment for us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Colleen. Also, thank you, Lucy, for your call. Let's continue to bring in more folks. And what do you think about what you're hearing today? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're going to hear from Stephen. He is tuned in online from Japan. Hello, Stephen.
Hi.
How's it going? All the way there in Japan. What time is it?
It's almost 4 in the morning.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're connecting to us, and we won't ask any more questions about that. Stephen, what's your take? What do you think about being vegetarians and vegans?
Well, my family is actually vegan, and we've been vegan for 2 years. We just believed it was the right choice for us ethically and health-wise, especially for my son. He's 3.5, and he has an allergy to milk. So that was one of the reasons why we chose this lifestyle.
And Stephen, I know a lot of people get curious around the holiday times, you know, how does a vegetarian or a vegan survive the holidays? Any thoughts on that?
It's actually very simple. There's a lot of very tasty food out there. My wife, she makes shepherd pies, she makes stuffings, like just normal stuff that you would normally eat, just veganized.
All right. Stephen, anything else you want to tell Native America about being a vegan?
I just believe it's the right way ethically and for your health. That's pretty much all there is to it.
All right, Stephen, have a wonderful early morning there in Japan. And you can also join us, 1-800-996-2848. Let's hear more about life as a Native vegan. I want to go ahead and bring in Linda Fisher. She is joining us from San Francisco, California, and she is an Ojibwe artist, and she's a vegan. Welcome to Native America Calling, Linda.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Linda, we've been talking about being a vegetarian, and we're throwing in vegan too. Tell us a little bit about how the two differ.
Well, a vegan chooses not to use any animal products at all. That includes butter, eggs, and also most do not wear any type of animal products.
Go ahead.
You would not be wearing leather shoes and so on.
And Linda, you know, when you think about living a vegan lifestyle, what would you like to tell everybody?
Well, it's a personal choice. And for me, it's based on two reasons. One is for health reasons and also for ethical reasons. And I wouldn't say one was stronger than, you know, one area was stronger than the other. In my family, as a lot of Native American families do have heart disease and diabetes. And so I knew this as a young girl, very young, that this was a serious problem in my family. I've lost a lot of family members due to those two diseases. And so for me, it was an important health decision. But also, I've always been very deeply connected to animals. In fact, my artwork is representative of nature and the environment. And so even as a young child, I was very interested in deeply connected with animals and very interested in expressing that connection that I had through my art. So it was very hard for me to imagine that an animal that can feel pain, that can suffer, that can worry about her babies, that knows fear. It was very difficult for me to then separate the animals that I loved in my home versus the animals that we were killing in factory farming and so on. And so, you know, being that they both have the same emotions, it wasn't a difficult decision then to decide to become vegan.
And Linda, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are relating to your story and your reasons for it. And we also heard earlier from some guests who also have, you know, young people in their lives. I'd also like you to extend any thoughts to parents who have maybe a young person who has decided to take on a vegan lifestyle. Any advice on not only to accept, okay, your child wants to take on a vegan lifestyle, but just how to maybe even cook for them?
Right. Well, actually, you know, I think a lot of parents are justifiably concerned because we're taught that meat is an important staple of our diet in order to stay healthy. The same thing with drinking plenty of milk so your bones don't fall apart. But actually, we can, you know, parents shouldn't worry about whether or not their child is getting a healthy diet as long as they're providing their child a healthy, balanced, nutritional diet. And that includes legumes and beans and not just vegetables, you know, broccoli, but it includes all a whole gamut of wonderful healthy foods. There's squash, there's all kinds of things out there that our whole planet is filled with a cornucopia of healthy foods that do not involve animals. And so, you know, nowadays we're so lucky because we have the internet where people can go online and look up vegan recipes or vegetarian recipes. And I think one of the guests was explaining that, you know, about herbs and spices and so on. And you know, that's important too, but sometimes just redirecting your taste buds to tasting really healthy food. I think it takes a little bit of time if you're used to spicing up your food and having a lot of meat. But eventually what happens is you learn to realize what really good food tastes like, and it can be very simple and very pure and very, very healthy.
All right. Thanks for that, Linda. I got one more voice we're bringing in from Washington, D.C. today. On the line with us, we have Janice Papadon, and she is Acoma Pueblo, and she has also been a vegetarian for about a year. And Janice, we'd also like you to chime in here about living this kind of lifestyle. Anything you want to set straight before we ask you more?
Well, I'll say one thing. It wasn't easy. That's for sure. Having grown up in the Native American lifestyle, where we're constantly told that meat is the main staple in our diet, transitioning from eating meat to not eating meat, it was definitely a challenge for us, I think.
And Janice, you made it through though. Any advice for maybe other families who might have a bump in transitioning?
I think the biggest thing is time. If you give it time, if you continue to try new things and, you know, just keep your mind on the goal, because the main reason I decided to become a vegetarian was, of course, because of the animals. I'm a big animal lover. I love animals. And after seeing videos and learning new things about how animals were treated and how they are constantly abused, just made it all the more easier to transition to this lifestyle. So I guess the main thing is just to keep focused and know what your reasons are for doing what you do.
Sure. I think that's some good advice to be adding, Janice. We got a caller on the line we're going to bring in. We have Jean in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Jean, what would you like to add?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I was a vegetarian for about 15 years, and then I had a bad chemical exposure that I went to an immunologist, and he said, you know, your body isn't able to digest beans anymore. You're going to have to start eating some clean, organic meat, none of the factory-farmed poison meat. So I had to transition back to that. And also, when I had allergy testing done, I, after the 15 years of eating vegetarian, I was highly allergic to brown rice and soy products, because I had worked full-time and I'd come home from work, and to make a really complete meal, vegetarian takes some effort and some time and consciousness to balance it all out and have a complete protein. And so I would just take tofu and stir-fry vegetables in tofu and then throw it over brown rice, and then I can't eat that anymore. I'm very allergic to it. And so that's interesting, because I know a lot of vegetarians will give up meat, but then they'll eat, say, peanut butter as their protein and not really have a very very balanced diet. So anyway, that's just something to look at.
All right, Jean, thank you for your call. They're in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Janice, for anybody else who is out there and is wondering, okay, they don't eat meat, but, you know, what do they do for protein? You know, anything you'd like to share about how you balance things?
Well, there are a different, I know that's actually one of the questions I get asked a lot, you know, what about protein? What about calcium? What about certain things, you know, that you would normally get from meat or dairy products? And I mean, there are alternatives. There are so many alternatives, such as, you know, beans, chickpeas, soy, hemp, broccoli. A lot of vegetables carry these proteins and calcium that I think your body starts to adjust. You know, you start to feel better. You start to realize that meat wasn't the only source of protein once you start to learn more about this diet.
And I'm glad you said that, Janice. That's some good thinking. You know, our bodies are very smart, and it's been really great hearing more from the vegetarian and vegan side of Native America. And, you know, if there's still something you'd like to share, you can send us an email. Send it to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And you can also send us a tweet. We're on Twitter at 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're going to be ending our conversation on vegetarians and vegans today. I want to thank all the guests who joined us and shared a bit of their life. We're going to pause here and pick up a conversation about the Keystone XL pipeline. Last Tuesday, the United States Senate failed to pass a bill that would have approved the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. Here is Senator Elizabeth Warren reading the vote.
The yeas were 59, the nays are 41. The 60-vote threshold having not been achieved, the bill is not passed. Under the previous order, the Senate will proceed to executive session to consider the following nominations, which the clerk will report.
Nominations, the judiciary, Leslie Joyce Abrams of Georgia.
Sergeant-at-Arms will restore order. Order in the gallery.
And the singing you heard in the background was Greg Graycloud, and he is the co-founder of Wicha Agli, a group that supports healthy living for Native men, and he's an enrolled member of the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe. He's with us today here on the line. I'd like to go ahead and welcome in Greg. Hello, Greg.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
Greg, thanks for joining us. And what we just replayed has definitely ricocheted across the nation, probably even around the world, caught people's attention. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that was all about?
Well, it's an honor to actually be heard, you know, all over Indian country and, like how you said, possibly the world. But the song was an honor song originally made in the 80s by Howard Badhan of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. And, you know, I asked his family prior to actually singing it if I can, in fact, sing it there. There wasn't a specific time, but, you know, as the votes came out, it was 59 to 41. I got so overwhelmed and my heart filled with joy and happiness, and I felt honored that I felt super happy that the senators stood up for the people, and I wanted to honor them right then and there. And I thought in my heart, in my mind, I was like, sing you fools, sing for them, honor them, because they're standing up for your people. for the people. And I just stood up and, you know, belted out a song of honor for them.
And Greg, you know, for people who are learning more about Native America's connection and why Natives are concerned about the Keystone XL pipeline, you know, why was this an important moment?
Well, I mean, on my behalf, and the only really behalf that I can really speak on is, like how you said, I'm the co-founder of Wichita Ugly, where Native men against domestic violence. And this is the reason why we got involved in the fight is the man, the KXL pipeline is bringing, of course, men to work on the pipeline. And these men are going to be housed in man camps. And near our reservation is going to be housed two man camps, and each man camp houses 1,200 men. So that's 2,400 men that are non-Native men that are going to be in our communities. And 86% of the sexual assaults that happen to our Native women are done by non-Native perpetrators. So this creates a huge, huge issue for the communities that this pipeline passes through. So this is why our organization took a stand to oppose the KXL pipeline and coming through our treaty boundaries, our Great Sioux Nation.
And as we've learned on the program, that there are other reasons why Native Americans are opposed to it. There are also Native Americans who support it. And we're going to continue exploring more about what Keystone XL means to Native America. And Greg, a lot of people got to see the video, but then it kind of ended there. Anything you want to share about what happened after you were removed from Senate chambers?
Well, it was a process actually being removed from the gallery as they came and grabbed me. There's many the Capitol Police that come to haul me out. So my whole body, I just dropped my whole body, and they ended up having to carry me out. And when we got out, they threw me against the wall, kind of roughly a little bit, and I continued singing the entire time this song. But when they took us into the hallway, the entire hallway is made of granite, so it just kind of echoed through the hallways of the entire Senate building, the Capitol building, and it was quite amazing. And they finally got me in cuffs, and we went on the way, and the media got there in a snap of the fingers to start taking pictures. And it was quite the experience for, you know, the people. And the reason why I did it is because grandmothers and aunties and the women of our nations, you know, said that we as young men need to stand up and do something. So I was just doing, you know, what my grandmothers told me to do. So.
And Greg, has there been any misconception about, you know, singing this song and what it means, or maybe it's been interpreted as an activist movement or something negative, where in actuality it's almost kind of the same thing as being in English and saying thank you? Greg?
Yeah, there's a controversy, of course, by non-Native people I don't understand, because all of a sudden there's normally a protocol that whenever they do things, and especially in the Senate and Congress when they're voting for bills, and I am not part of that protocol. So, you know, of course they're going to say it was an outburst. It's they're protesting. Native Americans are chanting and protesting, when in fact it wasn't exactly that. So the next day after that, we took press releases around to the senators, and around we sent press releases all over the media to state exactly what and why the song was rendered. So the song itself is an honor song. I mean, you can simply, you can clearly see it. The KXL bill was failed to pass, and then a victory song came from there. If it was protesting, you know, it would have been different circumstances. Had they passed it, then you could probably say protesting, and then you can probably say that it was an outburst and it was, you know, exactly that, that activism is in here. But it, in fact, the bill failed to pass, and it was just a thank you.
And Greg, anything that happened to you, does any of this echo that it's time to learn a little bit more about Native America in terms of how the world looks at us?
I mean, it's been a fight for you know, coming on 600 years now since the European settlers came here, and it's been in the works for a lot of years. Now it's time for social justice and civil rights as Native American people. I mean, heck, it was less than, you know, 40, 50 years ago where, you know, an animal had more rights than a Native American. So it's our time now, and they talk about the seventh generation doing something and are having something done, and that's this black snake coming through the KXL pipeline and different pipelines. And you know, our people are here, and they're gonna rise now. And this is what I did. It was just one of many things our people are doing.
All right. And Greg, if anybody is also interested in the work you're doing with your organization, where do they find you?
So you can, we have our website. It's www.wichaugli.org. The spelling is WICAAGLI.org. Or you can find us on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/wichaugli. You can find all of our information there and links to different websites and different buttons there.
All right. Greg, and any upcoming events that if somebody's interested in attending or finding out more what you're doing, anything to announce?
Yes. My court date's on the 10th of next month, December 10th. So I'll be back in D.C. maybe a couple of days prior. There's a lot of things going to be going on for a week all the way up until then. So we're going to have some events out there. No protesting. It's not activism. It's just in solidarity with different nations coming together, non-Native and Native both.
All right. Greg Graycloud, thank you for joining us today here on Native America Calling. And if you're hearing about this for the first time, we're going to put links on our website, also on Facebook. Check with us in about an hour if you wanted to see kind of what was happening in those chambers. And we heard from Greg Graycloud himself talking about why that song was sung. And also I'm glad he shared where this came from and that it was he was given the road to sing this song. There's a lot to learn about Native America. We're going to continue tomorrow as we re-pick up the conversation here out of Studio 49. I want to go ahead and thank all of the folks you heard today on the program. Janice Papadum, also Rosemary Cree Medicine, also Colleen Thurston, Linda Fisher, and again, Greg Graycloud for joining us today. And we're going to be back again tomorrow about a show for you meat lovers, talking about the traditional side of meat and its connection to Native America. You can go to our Facebook page right now and start the conversation, post, hit like, and tell a friend while you're at it. Thanks to our crew, our executive producer, Sarah Gustavus, our senior producer, Monica Brain, our associate producer, Andy Murphy, and also Stephen Emmons, our engineer. And thanks to Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. We'll be back again tomorrow.
Yate, healthy communities starts with healthy families. Open enrollments for health insurance starts November 15th. Find out if you or your family qualify for free or low-cost health insurance. Contact your local Indian Health Program, visit www.healthcare.gov/tribal or call 1-800-318-2596 to apply. Pick a plan, enroll, and answer your questions. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support provided by the Anchorage Marriott Downtown, one block from the Denina Convention Center and close to restaurants and shopping, welcoming the upcoming Bureau of Indian Affairs meeting. For booking, 1-800-228-9290 and mention BIA.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.